It's been a long and a tough recovery since the Great Recession hit in 2007, and the economy has been making up ground. A bubble and subsequent crash in the U.S. housing market took some of the blame for that mess, and today we'll talk about how Wisconsin's, and more specifically, Western Wisconsin's housing markets have been recovering. That's this hour on the West Side. Good Monday morning to you. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for tuning us in on Ideas 88.3 WHWC and Ideas 88.7 WRFW in River Falls. It's a beautiful day out there, a perfect day to talk about home sales, housing stock, credit, you name it. Listeners, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. We're talking about home sales, housing availability, prices, you name it. We've got a panel of experts, and I'll introduce them now in no particular order. Joining us by phone from Madison is Brad Boykes. He is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Builders Association. Brad Boykes, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. Joining me in studio, I've got two local experts. First, I'll introduce Christina Thrun. She is Executive Officer of the Chippewa Valley Home Builders Association. Christina, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And Marty Tauger, he is president of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin, has his office in Eau Claire. Marty Tauger, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. And again, listeners, if you want to jump in at any time, let us know, 1-800-228-5615. The phone lines are wide open right now, as they are in the beginning of the program usually. Also, if you have a question or a comment but don't want to go on air, you can post on the Westside Facebook page. So check it out, like us, and then comment there. I'll do my best to get your question or comment on the air. So with that, there have been some local news reports in the Eau Claire area regarding home sales, housing availability, etc. So I'm going to start with Christina Thrun of the Chippewa Valley Home Builders Association. What are you seeing? What are some of the trends with regard to home sales, housing in the Eau Claire area and Chippewa Valley more broadly?
Yeah, so we look specifically at building new homes in the area, and we're starting to see 2017 has started off very strong in terms of permits. We're seeing more new home permits pulled this time this year compared to same time in 2016. But we're seeing a trend to move outside of the city limits, outerlying areas. You know, you look at the city of Eau Claire, and the city of Eau Claire new homes is looking pretty stagnant, like it hasn't grown much as what the development reports come out from the city of Eau Claire. But yet when you look at the county, you're seeing a great increase in terms of the number of houses being built out in the outlying areas. You know, in 2016, Town of Washington had 33 new homes built in that, you know, permits pulled for that area. And that's, you know, we're starting to see a lot more of a trend in moving to some of the outer developments. You know, the availability of lots and some of those types of things are a little more scarce now in the city. And so even in Chippewa and some of those other areas, we're starting to see more, you know, not necessarily right in the city limits, but in some of those outlying areas around Lake Wissota, things like that as well.
And is that pretty common for a city? I mean, Eau Claire is by no means a huge metropolis, but in the region, we are the most urban, I guess. Is there really a lack of properties to be building on?
Well, there's property available. There's a lot of developments out there that have been out for a lot of years that still have space available in them. But a lot of what is available may be more difficult to develop now because a lot of the prime locations are developed. Mm-hmm. But we are seeing some new smaller developments coming in. There's a development over on the west side near North Crossing up on the big hilltop looking over the river.
Okay.
Down over in East Hamilton area by Target, there's a new development in there. So we're starting to see, you know, but again, that's pretty landlocked, pretty limited spaces.
Sure. And Marty Tauger, how about from the realtor's perspective of not just the city, but the region as a whole?
In terms of
home sales, I guess.
Well, I think we saw a record year last year statewide,
yeah.
2016. What we did see, though, was that the number of units had gone down because the inventory had actually shrunk. Prices are up, what we're seeing is a shortage of available housing, and that's a large factor as to why these prices are sneaking up.
And in a nutshell, before we get into it deeper, why the limited housing stock?
Well, there's a number of factors in that. One would be the number of housing starts that we've had over the last, say, 10 years. It's it's probably been about half of what it should be in order to meet the needs of our market. You also have historic interest rates as far as how low they are. A lot of people chose to stay in their homes, refinanced, and were locked into a very low interest rate. So it's hard to push them out of a really good interest rate into another property when they're going to be having to pay a little bit more than what they are paying and be competing with a bunch of buyers that are out there looking for limited supply.
And Brad Boykes, for the state as a whole, what are we seeing for Wisconsin's housing market?
Yeah, you know, similar trends on a statewide level. In 2016, you know, the numbers that we tracked had one in two family starts up about 11%. To start off 17, and that's only January and February of 17, but we're off to a similar start here in 17 with a 10% increase even from the 2016 numbers. So cumulatively, obviously that's a really good sign in those statewide numbers that that housing starts are up. You know, in most places where you look across the state, obviously Christina had great numbers specifically in your area, but we see those trends repeating themselves statewide as well.
When it comes to buying homes, what is the prime motivator? Because, you know, people need money in their pocket. They need the down payment. What gets people moving, Brad Boykes?
Yeah, I think some of this continues to be pent-up demand. I think that, you know, traditionally, and we've heard this for years, usually presidential elections tend to have a little bit of a tightening of pocketbooks leading up to that. Just the general uncertainty of that happening and not really knowing what's going to happen with the November 2016 election. I think you're seeing some of that. I think there's people that either sat things out and wanted to be convinced that that things were really indeed moving in the right direction. Some of those folks, as was mentioned, by Marty, that they might have refinanced or done a remodeling job in their home, and now maybe if they've done that and it's been a few years, they're looking to make the leap and to build a new home. And I think just some people were, sitting, and if they had the money saved, they weren't quite sure. And now I think in 16, and it seems like again in 17, people are moving from the sidelines into either buying an existing home or building a new home, which, you see this good trend line with the numbers.
And with regards to building new homes, Christina, your group gave me some data that came from the city and county of Eau Claire showing that the largest growth, as far as construction is concerned, the largest growth in single-family dwellings last year came in the $200,000 to $400,000 price range, as opposed to the $150,000 price range. And as someone who is renting right now and looking into someday, hopefully soon, getting a home, these numbers scare me a little bit. So why are we seeing such growth in that 200 to 400? Is that like the new?
I would say, the low 200s is kind of your new norm your basic. And actually, Marty and I were just chatting about this before the show, that it's pretty tough to build something under 200,000. You're talking pretty small, pretty limited. A lot of what you're going to see even are like twin homes or things if you're going to get under that 200 mark, because the cost of the lot alone, is going to add, depending on where you're building, can add a lot to that price point. The other thing we're experiencing right now, and you wouldn't have seen this necessarily in 2016, as this is happening in 2017, is the increasing cost of lumber, concrete. We're seeing a big trend right now of all of those costs skyrocketing, which is going to really affect the cost of the houses overall as we move on into 2017, unless those costs come back in a line. So,
and that's specifically just supply demand kind of a thing.
I don't really know the background behind why, but just from a nationwide level, we're seeing it all across the country. And Brad actually may have more info.
Sure.
On that,
Brad, what are you seeing in terms of the materials needed and the overall costs of building a home? 200 new norm?
I think that in your area, I think that's correct. I think in other parts of the state, You know, there's certain areas, generally the Milwaukee, you know, some areas in the Milwaukee metro market and the Madison market where, you know, lots can even be, you know, in the 150 to 180, 190 just for the lot. So I think that is a challenge. And I think one of the things, too, is, you know, we're seeing in certain areas of the state, and Christina spoke a little bit about this as well, is, you know, we didn't hear a lot from folks who did development for a number of years because there just wasn't obviously a market for that. And we're hearing from our members more and more that, you know, development is picking up in addition, obviously, to building. And in some places, there's actually some shortages of lots, and that's something that's a challenge as well. And obviously, it's not, you know, taking land and getting it developed and putting the infrastructure in and planning for a subdivision. That's not something that you typically do in, you know, 3 months. It takes a little bit of time to plan that correctly and get the layout and get all of the permits that you need. So, you know, we're hoping that, you know, gets moving here and some of those things get done a little bit quicker than maybe in the past, which would bring lots online a little bit quicker than you know, say 10 years ago.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. Give us your story, if you will. 1-800-228-5615. Are you in the market to buy a home? Have you been thinking about it? Are you one of those people that are sitting, waiting to take the plunge? Or perhaps are you stalled because interest rates are on the rise and you've got a nice deal at close to 0% right now with your mortgage? Let us know. 1-800-228-5615. Also, if you're planning to sell, let us know how many offers you've gotten. It'd be interesting to see. I think that's what we're going to talk about here in just a bit. We're taking our first break here on the West Side. We're talking about the housing markets of Western Wisconsin and the state as a whole post-2007. I'm Rich Kramer. I'm joined by Christina Thrun of the Chippewa Valley Home Builders Association, Brad Boykes of the Wisconsin Home Builders Association, and Marty Tauger of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin. A lot of associations on the program today. We'll be right back.
Support also comes from Frank Productions, presenting Amy Mann at Barrymore Theater on May 2nd. The Till Tuesday singer brings intricate Beatles-style folk rock compositions and has been a favorite of discerning fans and indie filmmakers. Support also comes from the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra, which ends the season with its Musician's Choice Concert, including works of Bach and Haydn, April 22nd at Grace Lutheran Church in Eau Claire. EauClaireChamberOrchestra.org.
I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about the housing market. Are you in the market to sell or buy a home? Let us know. 1-800-228-5615. I'm joined by a panel of guests, including Marty Tauger. He is the president of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin. Christina Thrun is executive officer for Chippewa Valley Home Builders Association. And Brad Boykes is executive director of the Wisconsin Home Builders Association. 1-800-228-5615. So, Marty, I wanted to ask you about lot availability. And are you seeing, you know, we're seeing people turning to building. So are you selling more property, more lots just outside of the city, town of Washington, et cetera, or more broadly in more rural areas of Western Wisconsin?
I think it's actually both. We're seeing such a high demand for housing that if they can't find what they need, they're looking at the possibility of building as an alternative. And so subdivisions which had a bunch of inventory in them, say over the last 5 to 7 years now, are starting to get more attention, and you see those lots starting to sell, both with people looking at building custom homes and spec builders that are getting in and building homes on speculation.
Oh, so that's spec builders. This is jargon that I haven't heard of. Basically, someone that builds a division or a subdivision or something and expects to sell it.
Yeah, it's actually something that I do as well. So, I mean, I'll try to put up anywhere from 3 to 5 houses a year. Mm-hmm. And we try to find a price point that fits well with the market. Christina had mentioned that the low 200s is the norm. That is kind of the wheelhouse. Anything between really 175 and 250 is where the market is. We could use a whole ton of new homes in that market. I think that would help us out tremendously. But you build that home. in that market and hopefully draw a buyer that's not finding something else out there in existing homes. And we see a lot of that.
Now, I'm wondering, this is kind of outside the region for Chippewa Valley home builders, but way to the west, because I was looking at data from the Realtors Association of Wisconsin, and the prices for homes have jumped considerably. And I'm wondering, does that have anything to do with the Twin Cities Metro expanding? You know, I'm thinking of far western Wisconsin with the bridge going in. There was a lot of speculation that there were going to be there was going to be a big jump in home sales over there. I'm not sure if that's outside of your turf, Marty Tauger, but what do you know about that area?
Well, we go over towards the New Richmond area, and then that's covered by a different board than what we have. But I think it comes back to supply, and the demand is so high that if there are subdivisions in those areas, say the you know, the Hudson area, the Stillwater, or not on the other side of Stillwater, but New Richmond, Baldwin, the lots are a lot more affordable. People can commute to the cities, and they might find a better alternative there by putting up new construction there. Typically, that portion of the state has always been a little bit higher than we are.
Yeah,
anywhere from 15 to 20,000 on the same home, and that trend has continued. I mean, we locally here, our average sale price last year in 2016 was $174,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's up roughly 14% from 2008 when the bubble, you know, basically burst. And so we're starting to see those all come back, prices come back, but it's an upward trend for sure.
Brad Boykes, I wanted to get your take. What do you know about the St. Croix Valley housing market numbers? Because that's historically a huge area of growth, and the Lord knows that there's a lot of folks from Minnesota coming over for the lower prices, et cetera.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, in St. Croix County in particular, you had 43 starts this year for 2017, 43 starts compared to 34 in the first 2 months of 2016. So you do see continued growth over there. And I think, you know, you had mentioned the bridge, and I think just generally, you know, that commute and proximity to the interstate, Hudson, New Richmond, you know, that whole area has always been one, you know, at one point in time that was, and I don't know in particular now, I haven't looked at it closely, but, you know, before the downturn, you know, that was one of the quickest growing counties in the state, largely driven, I think, obviously, with the Minnesota growth, Minnesota and people choosing to come over on the other side of the river. So that continues to be an area of the state which looks like it's, you know, following in the trend line here with the rest of the state where things have definitely picked up.
And I don't mean to bounce around here, but Christine, I wanted to go back to you. And as far as home, single-family homes, this data, and I'm pretty sure that this has to do with new home construction, but the data from Eau Claire County showed that the number of single-family homes has remained fairly low. I saw, and let me know, the number of fewer than 80 last year since the housing crash of 2007, but in the late 90s and early 2000s, single-family home construction was like in the 150 range. I mean, are we still seeing?
Yeah, and the city of Eau Claire, you know, we're not back to where we were. And again, you got to remember that back then, there's a ton of developments that are now, there's still lots available in many of these developments.
Right.
But, you know, that was in the height of construction. And, you know, we were taking up a lot of the land and building very quickly through that time in a lot of the city of Eau Claire. A lot of what you're going to see going forward, I don't know if in the city of Eau Claire, if we're ever going to see numbers quite back to that level in the city limits itself,
okay.
Because, again, of some of the more limited availability of land and some of the challenges with the existing land that's there, I think we're going to continue to see an increase, but I think the push is outside of the area. But, you know, it was so strong, as we've yet to see if we're going to get back to that level of building.
Yeah.
It's been a slow increase, and I think that's okay. I don't think we want to grow too fast, and you know, I think that, you know, and the builders right now are, you know, they could build more houses if they had more help, and, you know, so there's other limitations right now with a skilled workforce, you know, land availability, you know, things like that are playing into the ability to build to build houses. You know, we have a lot of retiring workforce too, where a lot of the builders are starting to retire. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't necessarily have the younger generation coming in. And so I think that our numbers we're going to see is going to be a challenge going forward with some of these things, because in this area, we just don't have the labor force to really grow and to build at that level that we were building at back then.
So you're seeing the same thing. I saw that reported in one of the local news outlets. A story that there is a labor shortage in the Eau Claire area.
Oh, definitely. And it's a nationwide issue. It's we definitely see it right here in the Chippewa Valley, but it is also a nationwide issue with this industry as a whole, that there's not a, you know, it's, you know, the, there's not as many young people going into this, the skilled trades as there used to be. We're seeing, you know, the push for the four-year schools.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see a turn a little bit. There's a lot of the schools that are working with us and working with others in the area to try and get the kids that are, you know, that would enjoy that type of a career back into considering the skilled trades. But it's definitely going to be a little bit, you know, of a challenge, because, you know, we're hearing that, you know, they could build more houses and do more things if they had more labor. And so that's something that that is, we're definitely going to see as a challenge going forward.
Brad Boyce, yeah, as Christina mentioned, we've seen the governor and others in the legislature really hammer the importance of, or the value of skilled trades through the technical college system. Are you seeing a labor shortage statewide? And is there anything that the builders associations, whether it be the Wisconsin or the Chippewa Valley Home Builders, or even the realtors associations, can do to try to get more people building these houses?
It's absolutely something that we hear more and more from members. We just had our quarterly meeting, board of directors meeting, and a number of different group meetings, and it's usually something that comes up at some point, and a lot of times multiple times during those outreach efforts with our membership. It is something that it's interesting, the timing of this conversation, because we actually we have a foundation, the Wisconsin Builders Foundation, that's active and really has a couple of missions. One, to educate, you know, our membership, and also to try to get more people into the trades and provide scholarships for people and students to do that. And it's kind of interesting. We actually have a meeting. We have some of our members of our foundation are getting together today to discuss that very topic with some folks over at the Department of Public Instruction and the Department of Workforce Development. There's obviously a number of programs that try to do this. You know, the beginning of 2011, there were some bipartisan bills that passed the legislature. This is one area that truly, I mean, you have a tendency to only look at sometimes some of the things that the legislature tackles that are controversial, but really I think they've done a really good job, Republicans and Democrats working together with the governor to do some things to try to address this problem. In particular, you know, the Department of Workforce Development has, you know, fast forward grants, which are kind of tailored more for, I think, groups that can say, you know, we need X a number of employees and we want to train them here, and they can get some assistance and some help from DWD to educate them quickly and then get them in the field and employ them. You know, the trick for us has always been, if, you know, we don't have, you know, we have some bigger builders obviously in the state, but, you know, traditionally our membership are, you know, family-owned businesses that build anywhere from, you know, 3 to, you know, maybe 10 homes a year. You know, a lot of folks build a few homes a year and do some remodeling jobs, so it's a little smaller and it's more difficult for, you know, the one contractor who needs, you know, one framer, as opposed, you know, if we had a lot of bigger builders here, it might be something that we could take a little bit more advantage of. But it's certainly something, you know, we don't, we wish we did, but we don't yet have the silver bullet to really fully address that. But we're certainly, with outreach efforts, especially with our foundation, trying to plug in with folks over at DPI and DWD, you know, we're hoping to continue that conversation and see how we can get more people into the trades. I mean, we have an immediate need, I think, of builders right now, you know, that could hire people, and we're also trying to look a little bit longer term in having conversations and working with Christina and the local association up in Chippewa and also all across the state to try to get members into, you know, job fairs. You know, we've heard repeatedly that, you know, sometimes high school is almost too late to have that conversation and that you need to get into the middle schools. And we've even heard, you know, some some programs where, you know, we have people going into elementary schools just to at least kind of talk about this as an option. And I think, you know, I think that it's there has been a change. More people are talking about, you know, the trades as a good way to get educated quicker. You know, maybe have less student debt if you were to go to a technical college than to get a four-year degree. And we're certainly, you know, not opposed to folks getting a four-year degree, but that doesn't necessarily work for everybody. And if there are people out there that we can start having a conversation with and providing an option that, you know, if you want to go into a skilled trade and go to a technical college, it's less time frame, usually less cost involved. And, you know, you can graduate and go in, and there's folks that are ready to hire you pretty quickly. And I think that that's getting there. You know, we're not there yet, and that's going to take some time, but I think that there's been a lot of collaboration with our membership and with guidance counselors and working with local schools and school boards. You know, I think we're seeing more of that, and we're trying to capitalize, too, on areas where we know those relationships exist of having a statewide conversation, because if you know, if the folks down in Janesville have a great student build program, which they do, it's the South Central Builders Association. They have a great program working, building a home with students. You know, if that works down there, you know, maybe that's something that we can look to replicate across the state at various different local associations that will, again, continue to expose people to the trades and hopefully have that as an option for them to be future people that would actually be hired as employees.
Now, is this an issue with labor? I mean, laborers, or is this like highly skilled, like carpentry, or more skilled applications?
I would say it's probably all of the above. I mean, I hear from, you know, roofers who put out ads and get very little response, and sometimes the response that they get are people that they, you know, they simply can't hire because they don't have the skills to do that. So I think it runs kind of the gamut. I think, you know, and there's a number of folks, too. I think, obviously, the housing start numbers show that our membership is busier and that people are doing more construction. And I think we even have a little bit, you know, we talked about the consumer being a little bit nervous with their dollars, and I think some of that pent-up demand. And I think, you know, sometimes with our membership and people that, you know, own companies that do building and remodeling, you know, they're really busy. And I think the number of people that they, you know, before the downturn, they may have had five employees, and now they're down to maybe two or three. And they're busy enough to where they could probably hire somebody to help. But, you know, there maybe is still a little bit of unease about, you know, I went through obviously a very difficult time in 2007 and 8 and 9 and even into 10. You know, am I really ready to hire somebody back? And I think that will, you know, as things, month after month, if you have good news and you continue to be busy, I think it's probably easier to then pull the trigger on hiring some help. But, you know, it's really in all of those areas, whether you talk to a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, I think even, you know, HVAC folks and other people where, I think there definitely is a need. And, you know, obviously it's great in this state that we have such a low unemployment rate, but it even further increases the competitive nature of going after, you know, quality folks who, you know, would be interested in the trades and they have multiple other options.
I want to talk about prices now. Marty Tauger of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin. The State Realtors Association reports that median home prices in Western Wisconsin, as you mentioned, have been increasing for the last 3 years. And 2017, so far, the average price, as of last month, I think it was $174,000.
Correct.
For the Western region. I mean, that is up quite a bit from 3 years ago. So, rising home prices, is that a good thing for the market? Is it that simple?
Well, rising home prices are always a good thing if you're a seller.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think there's a little bit of a silver lining in it as well for a buyer. You had mentioned that you may want to be a buyer at some point in the near future.
Yeah, once I scrape together $150,000.
Well, and I think for buyers, they have to look at it that the interest rates have been artificially kept low for quite a long time. And if you look at what your buying power is at this point, you know, right now I think they're hovering around 4. They're fluctuating between 4 and, let's say, 4.4%. But if you look at the historic interest rates at about 6, mm-hmm. Right now the average sale price, like I said, is $174,000 and change. if you were going to look at that as a historic interest rate at 6% at 174, or so, let's just say 175, if you were going to drop that down to the 4% that it is today, that same house, you could afford roughly $210,000. So your buying power is substantially more with the interest rate where it is right now, and that's driving a lot of the demand for housing as well, because people know that eventually that will trickle up. And the other thing is you've got baby boomers that are downsizing. They no longer need these big right. homes. And so you have this competition of new home buyers versus the baby boomers who are downsizing, and you're seeing multiple offers. And whenever you have a high demand with multiple offers, prices are just naturally going to go up.
A reminder, listeners, you can call in with your questions or comments, 1-800-228-5615. We've got three open phone lines waiting for your call. We're talking about housing, the housing markets of Western Wisconsin, the state as a whole, prices, etc. Are you in the market? Let us know. Are you a baby boomer that's looking to downsize? Lord knows there is a lot of people that are about to be retiring in Wisconsin. And if you're a seller, let us know how good things are right now. Or are you not seeing the same thing that we're talking about? 1-800-228-5615. With average prices being that high and limited housing stocks, I mean, are these prices basically pricing people out? Are these causing, we've already kind of talked about it, but causing more people that maybe are pretty comfortable with their mortgage to just stay put? Or people to keep renting, for example.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I think if people have to weigh their options, is it easier for them to stay in a rental property, or is it a good move for them to buy? And certainly, if the prices keep going up, there's more likelihood of them to stay in a rental mm-hmm. or stay in their existing mortgage, which was probably refinanced at somewhere in the low threes. I do think that. With the lack of new homes being built, it's going to probably continue this way. I don't, we always have this perception. We hear of national media saying that housing prices in Denver, are 45% above where they were before the crash. And, we're not that market. We're a very conservative market. And our prices increased from 2016 to 2015, roughly 4.5%. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good because we're typically around that 2-3%. So we're seeing it's amazing to us, but it's not the 15-16% swing you'd see up in Minneapolis. And so it's not like this just mind-boggling thing. But certainly, we have also things to consider like wages. I mean, wages are not going up as fast. So if your wages are increasing by 2% and the housing prices are going up by 4.5%, well, again, it's an affordability issue.
The big question is, and I've seen a lot of articles that kind of hinted at it. They weren't from super solid sources, but are we racing towards another housing bubble? I mean, 14-15% increases, that scares me a little bit.
Sure.
But, Wisconsin was kind of late to the party as far as the crash, and we're kind of late to the party in terms of recovery. Is that true? That's what I've been hearing.
Well, again, and you have to kind of take things in context that when the bubble burst here locally, we didn't see prices dropping 25-30% like you did in, say, Florida.
Yeah.
Our prices roughly stayed the same. So the average sale price of a home between, say, 2008 and 2011 stayed at about $150,000, plus or minus. It was very consistent. So we didn't really lose money, but we didn't gain anything either. So it made things very easy for us when we were doing markets on homes. And we'd say, when'd you buy it, 2008? Well, it's worth the same that you paid for it in 2008. Mm-hmm. It slowly started trickling back up. So we're not seeing this huge, fluctuation swing up or down. I guess my own personal opinion is I think it's going to continue. Mm-hmm. I think the prices are going to continue to go up. And as long as we can substantiate that by other comparable sales, these homes will continue to appraise until the point where we start seeing so much expansion with the new homes that are being built, or other people deciding to take advantage of the market and putting more homes on the market, and things will start evening themselves out.
Silly question, very broad, but are we recovered?
I think we're recovered. I think we're starting to move into more of an expansion phase. I think we're starting to see the demand for it. You're going to start seeing More houses being built, as Christina had mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a positive thing. When you start seeing things like high vacancy rates and new homes sitting on the market, those are the kind of things that spook me a little.
Okay.
As far as you know, what's going on, and start looking at things a little more carefully. But I think that the way things are heading right now, I think we're trending upward, and I think that's going to continue for at least another 3-4 years.
And as far as homes sitting on the market, I saw something in the news that said average time on the market for a home in Eau Claire, at least in the city, 65 days compared to a national of 90. So
right.
It sounds like things are moving.
Right, and consider the fact that they look at a balanced housing inventory is 6 months' worth of inventory. And right now we have about a 2.5 month supply of inventory, and that's why you're seeing multiple offers and high competition for what's out there.
Christina Thrun, I wanted to go to you, and I read a lot about there being a kind of a lack of housing stock because there wasn't so much building going on after 2007, 2008. When did building start picking back up, at least in the Chippewa Valley region?
Well, you know, I think that we really started seeing more of an increase here about 2012 is kind of seems like when we started making the turnaround to see a big jump. I mean, 2010, 2011 were kind of our lowest years. 2011 in this area seems to be the lowest year that we've had. So I think we started seeing the uptake in about 2012 for increasing in new home sales. And I think that that's just, again, a bit of slow but steady increase, you know, where, you know, some areas are more starts, some may maintain about the same, but we're starting to see, you know, 2017 has started off really strong, stronger than we've seen really since, you know, since the bubble burst. So.
Sure. And statewide, Brad Boykes, as far as this building, I mean, building is definitely picking up, but how long do you think it'll take before we can get to a point where everything balances out, where we've got enough stock, where we've got, you know, where prices can kind of, where's this equilibrium going to be?
That's a really great question. I wish I had the answer to that. I mean, I can just back up that I think, you know, I think things are headed in the right direction. You know, and the discussion about, you know, the fear of another, you know, bubble coming, you know, I understand that maybe in some regions of the country, but here, you know, with the, you know, low 10, 11%, 8% increase, you know, that was, if we were talking, you know, high teens, you know, percentage, you know, last year and the start of this year, then maybe that might, you know, hold a little weight, but I don't fear that we're headed for problems with those expansions. And I think, you know, hopefully, you know, things starting off quickly, you know, we're going to have, you know, more availability. And I think people, you know, we talked a little bit about spec homes and people building those, you know, for a long time, you know, it just wasn't done. It just was not, you know, something that people were willing to do. But I think in various places throughout the state, you know, you're maybe not seeing, you know, a builder go in and do, you know, 4 or 5, but you're seeing, you know, 1 or 2, obviously, in subdivisions and in areas where they're, you know, they're signing contracts and then, you know, building homes. But I think there is, you know, more of an appetite and an ability to go in and help with building a home when you don't necessarily have somebody lined up that's signing that contract. And I think, you know, contractors and builders getting more comfortable with doing that, I think will help alleviate some of that, you know, supply and demand issues as well as we move on. If things continue to improve, if contractors are able to fill out some workforce issues and they're able to feel confident that the economy is still headed in the right direction, I think that could be something that would maybe take some of the pressure off as well.
We'll take our final break here on the West Side. We're talking about the housing markets. Our guests say that things are moving in the right direction for Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, the Chippewa Valley. Let us know what you think. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. We've got open phone lines. We've got about 15 minutes of discussion left, so we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-228-5615. You can also check out the West Side Facebook page and drop a line there. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dan Robinson, host of WPR's Simply Folk, inviting you to join me at the Simply Folk Centennial Shindig June 1st at the Rothschild Pavilion, just outside Wausau. We'll be joined by two of Wisconsin's hottest folk and string bands, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, and Dead Horses, for an evening of fun, food, and great music. Come on out and help celebrate WPR's first 100 years and make some memories for the next. You can find all the details at WPR.org/100.
Support for WPR comes from Luther College, where students can gain real-life job skills through internships, research with faculty, study abroad, and work-study jobs to help explore career paths and build references. Support also comes from Neff's Pianos in Eau Claire, announcing a spring event now in progress, featuring fine used pianos and restored Yamaha pianos. Open for extended hours, and appointments are available at neffspianos.com.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm joined by Brad Boix. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Builders Association. He's on the phone from Madison. Christina Thrun is in the studio with us. She is executive officer for the Chippewa Valley Home Builders Association. And Marty Tauger is also in the studio. He is president of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin. Are you in the market for a new home? Let us know. 1-800-228-5615. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What are you worried about? 1-800-228-5615. And very quickly, I want to get into the whole discussion about more people choosing to rent. But before, we had a little discussion during the break, and I missed a very important point. We were talking about demand and demand for homes and certain price ranges. And Marty Tauger, I want to go to you. It sounds like there's some difference. A person like myself would probably be looking in the $150,000 price range. Other people are more in the $200,000-$300,000. But is there a difference in the demand levels in those different brackets?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what we're seeing, and this, you know, these statistics are going to come from the National Association of Realtors, mm-hmm. but millennials make up about half of our first-time homebuyer market. And many of them choose to rent a little bit longer, but when they do get in the market, they choose to skip right over the starter home and go straight to the home that they think they're going to be in for a while.
Oh, really?
Baby boomers tend to downsize. And so they did a buyer survey, and they found that the price point that everybody was happy with was $250 or less. So that being said, we're having this high demand for properties that are between $175 and $250. And unfortunately for the millennials, they're typically low down payment versus somebody that's usually in a pretty good financial position. And mm-hmm. so a lot of times they aren't going to get these properties unless they're offering substantially more for the property than it's listed for in order to make it worth the seller to consider an offer with financing. So, but that being said, that in 2016, if you look at the numbers of new homes, even though that price point, let's just say, is that $250 or less, less than half of the houses that were built in 2016 are in that price point. They're higher than that. So
sure.
even though we have a high demand, and you're talking probably 70% of these buyers are looking at that price point, we're not meeting that niche because we're not getting the prices down below that $250. Some of that has to do with building cost, lot cost, and they're going to change from area to area, obviously. But we're just not seeing a lot of these new constructions hitting that price. And I think until that starts happening, the prices are going to continue going to go up for existing.
We've got our first caller of the morning, and we're going to go straight to them. Carol, in Radisson, I believe. Is that correct, Carol? Whoops, hold on. Carol, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Carol, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to make the comment when you were talking about why someone would or wouldn't buy. What's keeping me from buying? I own a home right now, but I would like to move. I would prefer to own, but if I do move, I'm looking more towards renting simply because I've lost all confidence in job security. The company I'm working for right now, they've cut my wages, they've cut my hours, and even though I'm working for the same company for the last 17 years, doing the same exact job, I'm making 50 cents less an hour today than I was 10 years ago doing the same job. So I no longer trust the employers in this company or in this country to, if you are offered a job, to follow through and, you know, follow through on their end of the deal.
Sure.
And not, at, you know, halfway through, cut your wages, your hours, or whatever, and then there you are trying to make up the difference to make your mortgage.
Sure. Great point. Thanks for that, Carol. Best of luck to you in your search for new housing. I'm going to go to you, Christina Thrun. So that's a perfect transition because I wanted to talk more about people renting. But what about, you know, we're hearing about the economy improving, but yet do you get any indication that there's less confidence? You know, everything seems so mobile now. People are moving quite a bit more, I think, for jobs, for work. So are they less likely, in your opinion, in your experience, to plop down $250,000 plus to build a new lot?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. And in our experience, what we see, you know, and honestly, a lot of the house prices that we're seeing, a lot of the custom builds are much higher. You know, we're talking $500,000 for many of the houses. 300s to 500s is a pretty strong area. In terms of, you know, moving to the area, building, I mean, I think we tend to see more people, if they're moving here for a job, to rent for a while. You know, that's why there's a lot of nice houses. People will rent out their house necessarily instead of selling it as well if they aren't quite sure what's going to happen. So, you know, I think that we're, you know, in terms of renting versus, you know, versus building or buying, you know, I can't speak to how many people are renting in town. I know that the, you know, we're seeing more multifamily units going up. We have the new condos, which is, again, purchasing, but we see all the downtown, the downtown development, and a lot of people wanting to move downtown and rent and live in that, that area. I think that's a big generational change. And I think we're going to see, you know, with the generations changing, a lot of the young people, as you'd mentioned, want to rent longer. And I think that's, we're just seeing, you know, less of the first time homebuyers in their 20s, and that number is getting a little bit later.
It's really interesting. Among all of my friends, they're all renting right now, and they're making enough that they could build, well, they could definitely buy a home, a starter home. But Marty Tauger, what about that? I mean, we are seeing, at least in the Altoona area and in Eau Claire outside, just masses of multiplex, I don't know what you call them, multi-family dwellings going up. So what does that do to the market? I mean, if you got more people renting, more people being okay with owning or renting and not building equity in a property, how does the industry respond to that?
Well, I think it comes down to a personal choice, which we mentioned earlier, that
of course
you have to decide whether it's in your best interest to rent a place or to own. And certainly renting a property, you're not dealing with liabilities or mowing lawns or things of that nature, but I think once you're going to have a continued saturation of the multifamily market until you get to a point where you have vacancies start to stabilize. So they're going to continue to build these because if the demand is there, they're going to continue to build these properties. Years ago, I'm going to go back to, say, 2007, 2008. Again, when the housing crisis started, you were seeing 0 to maybe 1%. I think we had like a 0.9% growth or something per year. So if you're going to buy a house and then you're unfortunate, like say with Carol, that you lose your job or you're forced to move somewhere else, you know, you really need to be in that house a good 7-8 years before you can recover your closing costs and everything else that are involved in selling a property. So I think now with the prices going up at 4.5%, it makes a lot more sense that if you think that you're in the market to buy, you don't need to be there that long to recover. If you do purchase, you're going to actually get your money back out of it. So it comes down to you know, and there's several write-offs that you can have by owning your own home, and
sure.
And so those are the important things that you have to consider.
Absolutely. So, this is a very basic question, but I found a survey that said that millennials, people of millennial age, still think that it's more expensive to own a home than it is to rent. And Marty, I would imagine that you're going to disagree with that. But is owning a home more affordable than renting?
Well, it certainly depends on what you're renting.
Of course.
But there's things that go along with owning a house. I mean, there's maintenance.
Yeah.
There's times when the furnace or something, hot water heater goes, which you're going to have to stick some money back into.
Right.
I think home ownership is a wonderful thing. I think we're way down from where it used to be even, you know, 15 years ago. And we're trying to encourage people to participate. I think a big thing with millennials is they don't think they have the equity to do it. And there's programs out there as far as lending that will allow them to do it. I think if it's something that they're considering, they should talk to a local realtor and, and discuss what their options are and the benefits of actually ownership.
And with regard to, we're getting very close to the top of the hour here. We've got another caller coming in. But with regard to the interest rates going up, for the second time in 3 months, the Federal Reserve increased its benchmark interest rate. And this is all stuff that I have a very vague understanding of, but between 0.75% and 1%. So what does that mean for home sales? I'm going to go to you, Brad Boykes. Is this increase, you know, the Federal Reserve increasing interest rates is seen as a good thing because the economy is recovering. But does it stunt growth in new home sales? Or, I mean, new home starts, building construction?
You know, I don't get the sense that it will. I mean, it certainly may. I mean, if you're on the fence and you see an increase, that might be something that, you know, makes your goal possibly unattainable for, you know, what you want to do. But, you know, we're still looking. I think it's been mentioned a couple times now. You know, we're still looking. The rates that we're looking at here, you know, while they are, you know, going up, they're still, you know, they're still pretty low when looked at the grand scheme. You know, obviously looking back to the early 80s when they were, you know, double digits and extremely high, you know, they're still, I think, you know, relatively low. And, you know, that slight increase, while it, you know, might have an effect on the margins, you know, certainly I think probably if folks are getting locked in, it might, you know, may actually create a little bit more demand and try to get that. If they're fearful of them continuing to go up, that might actually get people, you know, off the fence and in making a decision quicker. But I just don't see with that type of increase that that's going to have a dramatic effect or slowing things down. It might, you know, again, on the edges it may, but I think generally, I think if people have made the decision to move forward, that wouldn't necessarily deter them from doing that.
All right. We're very close. Well, we're basically out of time. We had a caller. I was going to take the call, but there's just not enough time. It doesn't allow. Christina Thrun, I'm going to give you the last word. What is your general outlook for housing markets in the Chippewa Valley, Wisconsin as a whole?
I think that we're going to start seeing 2017 is going to be a great year. I think we're going to see our numbers up across the board for housing sales, new home construction, and I think I'm hoping that we just keep moving forward.
All right. Thank you all for the discussion. Marty Tauger is president of the Realtors Association of Northwestern Wisconsin. Christina Thrun is executive officer for the Chippewa Valley Home Builders Association. Brad Boykes is executive director of the Wisconsin Builders Association. Excuse me. Thank you all very much. Thanks for the callers, for listening and letting us know what you think. We'll be back again next Monday morning.